Welcome back to the Real Estate Talk Podcast. Rob Kyleman.
Joshua Britt.
All right. Today is a very interesting day, guys, because we have an interview with Mr. Alex Blackwood from Mogul Club. Now, Mogul Club could very well be the future of real estate. And let me tell you why. Because if you are an investor, small, regular, or even big investor, where you would buy stocks on Wall Street, and you may think there's no other way besides a 401k or something like that in order to become an investor. But what if you had it in your mind that you wanted to become a real estate investor one day? And I'll tell you, there is a way to do that, and that's from Mogul.club. Now, what you could do with Mogul.club is you can buy shares of residential real estate, just like it was a stock, you know, like a company with a building with a pretty name on it and stuff, and you buy shares or interest into that idea or that business that does a certain good or service. Now you can do it with residential real estate. Isn't that interesting? Why not? Some of the institutional investors out there are going ahead and buying residential real estate. Why can't you too? Anyway, joining with us today is Mr. Alex Blackwood. Alex, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
All right. So tell me a little bit about yourself. How did Mogul Club get started? What you do at the company? And what is this meant to do for consumers in the future?
Yeah, definitely. I really appreciate the both of you for having me. And high level, what we're looking to do is make real estate investable, whereby anyone can log online, buy shares in a single family rental property for starting at $250 and receive monthly rental income appreciation in real time and tax benefits at the end of the year. And so came about with this idea that we wanted to build this platform for ourselves. Myself and co-founder, we were both at Goldman Sachs in their real estate private equity group, where we've deployed billions into high quality real estate up and down the cap stack, both equity and debt, and decided to look around and see if there was any way to invest in real estate in an easy, attainable way that wouldn't lock up our capital for ridiculous amounts of time, but also large amounts of chunks in one individual property. And so we built out this platform with this idea of, all right, let's all invest together amongst our friends. And really, we saw this massive opportunity whereby we saw a few other fractional investing platforms out there, but none were achieving the quality of returns that we were looking to get at Goldman Sachs. And so we decided, let's start this. Let's leave our high paying stable jobs and jump full time offering out individual investment in single family rentals for anyone.
Well, I think your time at Goldman Sachs, from a layperson's perspective, that would give you guys an advantage, I think, a little bit in how to look at the thought process of fractional investments. You did mention that there was some competition out there. How would you say you fare against them right now?
Well, we liken the shift, or we liken the competition today as a kind of novelty versus quality approach. And so if you look at any sort of industry, and we like to target social media platforms, at the beginning, you had MySpace. It was pushing this novel concept that you and I could both connect online. However, then it quickly made way for Facebook that overtook it in a matter of a few years, offering a quality, utility, and service that by you and I not only could connect online, but we could connect over an event, we could connect in a group, whatever it might be, we could buy, sell things on there. And so if you look within this industry, within the fractional investing industry, a lot of these platforms out there today are just pushing novelty, pushing this ability to invest in real estate and providing subpar returns. We're talking 5 to 7% IRRs in the largest of our fractional investing competitors. And so when we look at them, we look at their founding team, what they were started on. A lot of them, no offense to software engineers, were started by software engineers with no financial institution, no real estate investing background in the past. And so myself and co-founder, when we come to the market, I mean, our worst case scenario, our bear case underwriting scenario to even be allowed onto our platform is a 12% IRR. Compare that to their average 5 to 7% IRR. Compare that to our average IRR, which is actually 18.8%. So we're that quality player coming into the space, much like Facebook did to MySpace, and we're taking over in a quality approach, offering out high quality real estate that we came to know and love during our time at GS.
Well, you know, that's interesting you say that. So you and your partner as Goldman Sachs employees being in the investment realm, and you did mention some competitors might be software engineers that created something, but I don't know if their expertise goes into the investments or the financial side necessarily, because while they would be great, I think, at developing the platform for guys in finance and gals in finance, I don't want to sound rude, but it almost sounds like, okay, I created eBay. Let me throw some houses on there. You know, I don't know. That's what it kind of seems like to me. Anyhow, somebody's gonna get mad at me, not come on the podcast now. We always want to be nice to our podcast guests. But anyway, for the future out there. So Josh and I do investments. We do buy and sell. We acquisition a property, we improve a property, and we try to get rid of it as quick as possible. We don't like interest-only payments eating us up and out of profits. So what if we decided to, you know, take it to market and maybe sell it in fractional shares? You seem like a very bright expert on this. How could we go about doing that? And can Mogul help us out or whatnot?
Yeah, so that directly ties into our investment thesis and buying process that we have. And so really, we form these programmatic relationships with what we call inventory partners throughout the U.S. These inventory partners typically have boots on the ground property management services within the different submarkets that we're looking to target. Now, what we do is we craft a buy box for these inventory partners. That buy box consists of NOI yields and net operating income yields as percentage of purchase price. It consists of different financing assumptions that we get from our lending partnerships. It consists of different submarkets within those major markets. Now, once that happens and that buy box is achieved, we send it out to our inventory partners and they come back to us with inventory. This typically amounts to hundreds, if not thousands, of properties that we then comb through and take only the top cream of the crop, so to speak, that achieve these bear case scenario underwritings of 12% IRRs. If we like what we see, we move forward and we proceed to actually go put a purchase agreement out. And so if you come to us with a property and you say, listen, this is our property, this is what we project as the underwriting, obviously we'll sense check everything, we'll battle test everything. And if it falls within our buy box and falls within our certain parameters, then we'll move forward and we'll put a purchase agreement out and work with you to onboard that property to our platform.
Okay, sounds good. Well, Josh, what you got, my friend?
Yes, hey, Alex. I really like what you guys are doing here at Mogul.club. I feel like this is a great opportunity for everyday people, middle-class people, to be able to invest in real estate.
Love it.
But, you know, fractional real estate investing is kind of a new concept, so how are you getting the word out to everyone so that way that they know? Because most people are just still, you know, playing that same old game of the stock market.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting word out just honestly through word of mouth. We don't really do much paid digital marketing spend because at the end of the day, the quality of product that we come to know of love is enough that people are looking to shout from the mountaintop, so to speak. And so the idea being that if any of our KPIs are any sort of barometer of success, I mean, more likely than not, a person will invest a second time on our platform. And when they invest actually across all properties. And second investment as percentage of first investment is roughly 233%. And so when people dip their toes in, they typically like what they see. They come back, they invest more, and then they spread the word to their friends. And so it's doing things through this avenue of podcasting, through organic media, through word of mouth marketing, that we actually offer the ability for people to invest in the single family rentals. Because at the end of the day, if you're getting a 12% cash on cash yield year one, that's something that you're going to want to talk about with friends.
I have a question. And obviously you're a Wall Street guy or Goldman Sachs guy. How safe or low risk would you say real estate is? Because I did some lay research because I am not a subject matter expert in research, I guess. But I did find in the past 75 years, almost 75 years since 1950, home values went down year over year, 1990, 1991, 2007, 2008, 9, 10, 11. Those are the times in the past 75 years it actually went negative. in the past 75 years. Now, I don't expect you to know those figures by heart, but does those make sense to you?
It does. It obviously, we have to double check the figures.
Of course.
At the same time, and with every investment comes risk. But at the same time, if you were to look at the returns of real estate versus, let's say, a basket of stocks like the S&P 500, what we've seen over the past 30, 40 years is that on average, on a yearly basis, the real estate or investing in a single family rental home returns on average about 44% higher than the S&P 500 with about 45% less volatility. And so when people invest, it's more likely than not to go up that as a relation to the S&P 500. And at the same time, real estate is thought of as the perfect mix of equity and fixed income in the middle ground, because not only is it spitting off rental income and a yield, much like a fixed income vehicle, but the stable appreciation, as you had mentioned, is giving that equity appreciation with long-term leverage in place that creates a double, or if not triple, return on percentage increase in home value.
Okay. I want to put the car in reverse just for a second. 44-45% return on investment? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, so it's 44% average on an annual basis. So I believe it was around 13.1% or 13.6 was the average annual basis for single family rental home compared to roughly 9%.
How do stocks fare in comparison?
Yeah, 9%.
Oh.
Roughly 9%, yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to get these figures. 9%, 44%. For our audience out there, stocks, real estate.
So 9% and 13.1, the 44% increase from the stock is what I'm quoting there.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And the volatility that I mentioned, the 45%, is exactly speaking to what you said, which is that fluctuation in return on a yearly basis, whether it goes a few points up or a few points down, it consistently stays within a certain band 75% of the time, as opposed to stocks, which 1 year they might be negative 10%, the next year they might be positive 20%, right? And so it's that volatility that we point to when it relates to real estate.
Well, no matter how you sing that lullaby, Alex, it's making me very happy. It seems like real estate is almost like in this type of investment space, it's almost like untapped oil fields. You just haven't drilled in them yet. It seems so promising. Anyway, Josh, what else do you have, man? I want to keep talking here all day.
So, Alex, I think I've seen somewhere, maybe on your website, where it says that you've achieved like 400% month over month investment growth since launching and about $7 million invested across properties. What factors have driven to this rapid growth and how do you plan to sustain it?
I mean, honestly, it just speaks to the quality of real estate that we bring to market. A lot of it has been around, as I mentioned earlier, that kind of word of mouth marketing and individuals coming to invest. And so really what we've seen is when people invest, they come back, they invest more. They invest on average, as I said, 233% second investment as percentage of first investment. And I would point out too that obviously within the single family rental space, if you look at the fractional investing platforms out there, we've seen a lot of our customers, we've gone through, we've interviewed them on what it is you'd like to see, what is that we could help out more with to understand and to educate around single family rentals. And honestly, a lot of them come back to us and say, really, when I compare your returns against another fractional investment platform that I'm as part of, it's not even a comparison. It's night and day, the type of returns that we're achieving. And so when you see that growth and see that rapid growth, it really points to the fact that a lot of people that are already within the market are looking for alternatives that are going to yield, that are going to return higher. And that's why they come to our platform, is when they look into it a little bit more and they see that, they come in droves.
Okay, so real estate investing itself can be complex and scary for first-time investors. What type of like educational resources or services do you have at Mogul that can kind of help empower those first-time real estate investors?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we provide as transparent an investment process as you could possibly want and in a more digestible format. And so by that, I mean, not only do we have educational resources on our main site, but within each individual property, we joke that this is more information than we would have needed to make a decision during our time at GS in the investment committee in a way more digestible format. So within each individual property page, you'll see, all right, why did we purchase it at this price? Okay, it's because these sales comparables are pointing to this direction of the asset price that we purchased it at. All right, now, what are the assumptions that we make within our underwriting? Those assumptions are derived from lease comparables or rental comparables within the market. And so you can actually see those and see, all right, their assumptions versus the actuals of other properties within the market help us target the actual rental income yields, help us target a lot of the assumptions that we look to derive from it. And so someone can look and play around with, all right, if I invested $1,000, $10,000, $100,000 within a property across a bear, bull, and base case scenario, they could see that. They can see the market, why we target the market, the rental growth that's happened over the past little bit, the actual process in which we looked about it. And if they really want to dig in deep and go really into the weeds with it, we provide all of the documents used to purchase the property, used to set up the operating agreement and the LLC behind the property. And so all of that is wrapped up in a nice little bow to the point where if someone signs up to investment, takes 30 seconds and they can learn while they earn. So that way their rental income comes on the second Tuesday of the next month. The appreciation comes in real time and tax benefits at year end.
Okay. So, you know, this fractional ownership investing is kind of new. And then you also have crypto out there. So like, where would you say on the scale, you know, we got our mainstream Wall Street, we got fractional real estate investing, and then crypto. Where would you say it is on the same scale as crypto, like in comparison?
I think you can't have two more opposite of investments, crypto versus single family rental assets. And if you look at it, right, even from the pure what it is, it's lines of code on the internet in crypto versus a tangible real world asset that you can look, see, and feel. And crypto, outside of Bitcoin and outside of some of the ones out there, they do have a large, large market cap that fluctuates drastically. I mean, you've seen dips of hundreds of percentage points on some of these meme tokens or some of these different tokens, as opposed to in a real world asset, they're not making any more of it. Now, Bitcoin, I also argue that they're not making any more of that. I don't want to get any crypto fanatics out there coming at me with that. And to be honest with you, we were built with blockchain in mind. We actually don't mention this to anyone really, and you can see it maybe on our site, but the idea is we leverage blockchain technology for a more efficient back office. So that way that when someone comes to our platform, the reason they can invest $250 minimums is because we have a lower back office expenditure caused from blockchain. Now, no one has to understand how blockchain is used in order to use our platform. They are just benefiting from it. So we offer traditional fiat where you set up a bank account, you attach it, you invest. And so we like to joke that there are no two diverse set of people out there than a crypto investor versus a real estate investor. And we look to kind of bridge that gap by creating a blockchain back office, much the same way that we use AWS in the back office.
Okay. Now you all have attracted some pretty big real estate investors. I think I've seen Tim Draper up there. How has securing these investors helped the company's growth and credibility in the market?
Yeah, I mean, they've been incredible. They've been incredible, not only mentors and driving forces behind the platform itself, but they've been great to partner up with as it relates to different partnerships. I mean, obviously, you see the partnerships that we've had today, whether it be the Players Company or whether it be some of the other ones that we have in the works. And a lot of that has derived from our relationships with our venture capital firms, not only Tim Draper with Draper Associates, but Draper Dragon, Draper B1, or Intervest, Avalanche. All of these different funds have helped us to fulfill this mission of making real estate investable, because it does take upfront capital to start a site like this, to bring a team together that offers this out to the end investor. And so they've been a tremendous force behind us to help us on this platform. I mean, we also have angel investors from JP Morgan and Goldman. We have the 43rd Treasurer of the US on our cap table as well. And so we definitely see a future within the traditional finance space for this type of investment vehicle. And that's kind of helped bridge the gap, is these mentors and these different backers behind us.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, and just a quick segue into something that you were saying is making real estate in investable. For the average person, if they're going to play in this lower risk casino of real estate, I don't even know if I want to call it a casino because it's got such great returns. But what would be their buy-in, their small blind, if they wanted to come to the table and they wanted to start investing in real estate?
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of the site. It's people try it out with $250 minimums, not $250K, $250, which is great. And so someone comes in, tests it out. Now, I will say, on average, our check sizes in the individual asset typically are in that 3K to 5K range, I would say, with people coming in sometimes north of 100K, sometimes north of 150K into the individual assets. And so it's really any type of investor can come to invest. They're still going to get the same quality of real estate that any other type of investor would receive through our platform. So to answer your question, $250 to 250K, anywhere in between as well.
Awesome. That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, so you were talking about the future, and I was just curious, like, what are some upcoming plans that you have for Mogul?
Upcoming plans for us, obviously, are a focus on just growing out the platform as rapidly as possible. I would say that we're in this growth phase now where things are starting to get really fun because we've gotten the word out there, we've gotten the initial traction, we've gotten the returns and proof of concept behind under our belt, so to speak. And so now we can go out to market and really start blowing it out of the water and showing it out to the individual investors. So really growing more assets on platform. We have another asset actually coming online Tuesday, September 17th. We have another asset that we had previously, and we have a number of assets that we have over the next few weeks that we're going to look to onboard. Now, beyond growing it out exponentially, we have a pretty cool under the wraps, so to speak, app that someone will be able to come in and use in the next few days, but don't want to kind of blow the lid off on that one just yet. But it'll definitely be a useful tool that I wish I had during my time at GS. But that's in the media term. Obviously, beyond that, we have a number of different strategic initiatives that we're well underway with, but it's really just focusing on the growth, offering out the best quality of assets that we can to end investors, and offering out useful tools that anyone can use to help on their real estate investment journey.
All right. What, if you're able to share, what markets are you currently investing in?
Yeah, so we like the Sun Belt a lot. And by that, I don't mean necessarily the ones that receive this ridiculous amount of appreciation within the pandemic. So not the Austins of the world, right? Because Austin was built on a tech scene that really started to come out of the pandemic, but wasn't necessarily a baseline economy that would sustain that growth in the long term. And so what we're looking to target is high price to rent dislocation markets. And so what we like to think about is the Dallas's, the Houston's of the world. Dallas, I believe it's net new people moving there on a daily basis is around 130 to 140 a day. Now, outside of that, Houston is becoming the oil and gas hub of the South, obviously, and of the U.S. as a whole. I mean, you have Chevron, Exxon, both moved their headquarters out there this past year. Beyond that, if we're looking at the Nashvilles of the world, that's becoming the health tech center. You've got Oracle moving their headquarters out there. Atlanta is the fintech capital of the world, and is becoming a fintech hub, so to speak. And if you look at it from the perspective of, I think Microsoft has over $1 billion invested just outside of Atlanta. I mean, Charlotte, Birmingham, Alabama, these are some of our core markets that we're looking to target, but really it's that high growth secondaries that we're looking at.
All right. So for any of our listeners who are out here who are like, hey, you know what? I want to try Mogul out. Like, what would the process be? Like, what type, you know, obviously you go to the website mogul.club and I'm assuming sign up. Is there, what's the process?
It's a fairly straightforward, intuitive process. Definitely. It's a 30 seconds from sign up to investment. And sign up is putting in your email, signing up with Google. Investing is attaching a bank account, credit, debit, or wire, and checking out on an individual property. And so if you look within it, you can see the individual properties that we have. You can look through it and read through it on, all right, which property do I want to choose? Or maybe it's a basket of the different properties that I want to choose. Now, once they click invest and decide the dollar amount and check out, so to speak, then they'll start receiving rental income on a monthly basis that's distributed on the second Tuesday of the following month. And so, for instance, if I invest midway through September, I'll get 50% of the rental income distributed on the second Tuesday of the following month because it's calculated daily. Outside of that, appreciation happens in real time. So when an asset sells out, you'll see the asset appreciate and you can actually see, all right, this is what the returns look like. This is not only the rental income I'm getting, but the appreciation I'm getting as it's marked to market in real time through the use of our appraisal level data that we pull in from different service providers. Outside of that too, potential tax returns at year end. And that's because we pass along the depreciation tax benefits of the real estate. So if you get a 10% yield, for instance, on your cash on cash yield, dollar invested, 10 cents back from rental income. If you were to look at it from a REIT or from any other type of investment, that 10% quickly becomes 5 to 7% post taxes. With us, it actually stays 10% and is actually a potential passive loss for income reporting purposes because we pass along the tax benefits to you at year end.
Nice.
Awesome.
So with that rental income that comes in, is there an option to reinvest it?
So we do have an auto reinvest feature that you just flick on and it distributes directly to the properties that you've invested in. And if that property is for whatever reason sold out, it goes to other assets that you have within your portfolio. Now, if all those are sold out, investing in another property can reset it, so to speak, where all your rental income goes towards reinvesting in that property. And outside of that too, I forgot to mention the appreciation at the end of a 5 to 7 year hold period, or even maybe 3, 5, 7 year hold period, that's when the appreciation is distributed as we sell it in the real world. Now we're looking to have a secondary market and secondary exchange online well before the 3, 5, 7 year period. But at this point, it's waiting for that appreciation and really having it grow year over year, as well as receiving that rental income in real time.
Alex, I like it, man.
Love it too.
You almost got me ready to go sign
up. I think I'm actually going to go to the website and take a look at it. So what website is it again? Could you remind us?
Yeah, www.mogul.club. Now, when you go on there, you can see the properties page. You just hit properties and it'll take you immediately to the properties to sign up. And from there, it's a simple sign up to invest in 30 seconds or less.
Awesome. Well, that's all I got, Joshua. You got anything else?
No, that's it. Alex, any last comments for us?
Yep.
I mean, outside of the fact that our team over here has been working tirelessly at this, I mean, my co-founder is one of the main reasons why this came about at all. I mean, I kind of approached him sheepishly with the idea at a diner and pitched him on it. And he didn't call me crazy because here we are today. And so it's been a long time in the making and I wouldn't be here at all without him. And obviously our head of engineering, head of marketing, head of sales has been tremendous and we've been growing our team like crazy. And so we hope you like what you see. And if you don't, definitely let us know because we iterate quite quickly over here at Mogul.
All right. Perfect. Well, Alex, thanks so much for coming on the Real Estate Talk podcast. We appreciate you. We appreciate what you're doing at mogul.club and everybody else out there, our audience. If you like this video, go ahead, hit that subscribe button. Give us a like, leave a comment below. Let us know about your favorite real estate investment. With that, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. See you soon.